Here we go.
Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of another Dolphins podcast. The first week of free agency is over, but there is still news coming through South Florida. It's been a busy weekend. It's been a long weekend. Can't talk about Dolphins football alone. Joshua Houts, what's going on?
I'm wondering what's going on here, man. You said about how, you know, down in South Florida, we're up here up north, and it was so nice these last few days, and today I had to break out the beanie and the winter jacket again. So it's a little bit nipply up here, but man, it is awesome that free agency is upon us and some of the moves the Dolphins are making, as we'll talk about. How are you doing today, Jake? How have you been?
I think one of my favorite way to describe this podcast, and I think it's what makes us unique and gives us an edge, we're up here recording because everybody else down south is out enjoying the nice weather. So we are actually sacrificing for you guys so you guys can go out and enjoy the beautiful weather. But with that too, there's the curveball of we actually have listeners that are outside of South Florida. Believe it or not, the Dolphins have one of the bigger fan bases. Josh, before we get into our big Miami Dolphins hopes, dreams, prayers for the offensive line, I want to ask you, how old do you become the moment you start watching Flea Market Flip on a daily basis?
Man, I don't know. That might be even older than myself and Merrick, man. You've got to be real old to be watching now. Why do you ask? Is that what you're watching?
We need something to watch, my girlfriend and I, when we're making dinner. So we did The Floor, which I thought was a pretty good game show. Elizabeth Banks is actually, we graduated from the same high school. So I love watching Whammy. That's a little fun connection there. And we needed something new. And 22 minutes, I can do the, yay, it's in Brimfield, Massachusetts, where I'm from, which is like a state away, basically, by the distance. But it's a fun way to kind of yell at people for making stupid decisions, which isn't that all we do when talking football?
I mean, yeah, you could speak for yourself, but that's all I ever do when I talk about football is just make stupid decisions and, you know, talk in circles. But that's why we love this game so much, right? There isn't really a exact science to it. And we love to come on here and speculate as we're going to do as much as you guys allow us. So, dude, yeah, I think you're pretty old, though, for 69 years old. I don't know how old. You're pretty old for watching that for sure.
I have the newspaper sitting on the table, drinking my black coffee. It just all meshes together. Josh. Something we spoke about with Kat late last week was the idea of, did free agency really change our perception on how the Miami Dolphins could approach the draft, right? They really revamped the linebacker room, which we spoke a lot about. They're still searching for wide receivers, and we'll get to that later on the show. But I got to thinking, what needed to happen in the last week to really change my perspective? And the only thing that could really, really boil to the top for me was the only thing that changed my original vision for the Miami Dolphins draft process is if you signed Robert Hunt to a 5-year, $100 million contract. That is probably the only thing that could have happened, because we're going to talk about it. The Dolphins signed a couple 1-year players, some tackles, some guards who are coming in. But man, like, we ended the season thinking that the best way to improve this team, the best way to improve this offense is with the drafting offensive linemen. Nothing has changed for that for me. And I'm slowly coming to that realization.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny that we're sitting here and you look at both sides of both trenches, right? The defensive line, we're sitting here, we're just going to kind of throw bodies at it and see what happens there. And it almost seems like that's what they're going to do here at the guard situation, like we'll talk about. But yeah, man, if you look at this roster and you try to figure out what that one move could have been, it would be, solidifying that offensive line, drafting a player, bringing back a Robert Hunt, like you mentioned. So as we'll talk about, the Dolphins are making little moves here and there. And as we talked about before, I wouldn't be surprised if Butch Berry, after what he's done, doesn't think, you know, I can run it back with Liam Eikenberg. Rob Jones is back. We're going to talk about two other guys that they signed who can come in there and compete. So I like what the Dolphins are put together, right? After we lost key piece after key piece, but until they're out there working together, it's still, the offensive line needs to strengthen up for this Dolphins team to really reach the pinnacle that we believe they can.
Like, I was trying to go through it, like, if they sign Trent Brown to like a long-term deal, even like a Michael Wenu, who I just butchered that and I deeply apologize. He's back with the New England Patriots. I just started going through like the top free agent offensive linemen for this year. And what would be that line in the sand for the Dolphins to have a player where we can maybe try to tease the idea of, I think I saw a mock draft where the Dolphins took a cornerback today. And it, you know, kind of makes sense. You could talk yourself into it, but even if the Dolphins wanted to push Chips in, the only option there was Robert Hunt. And that clearly wasn't going to happen. Where are you sitting as of right now with that first round draft pick? Because I think I'm going to settle into the camp. I'm going to be alone, but I think I want offensive linemen in both rounds one and two. I look back to that 2020 draft where the Dolphins did it then. Austin Jackson, 3-year contract extension. Obviously, there were some bumps early on. Struggled to really find his rhythm, but I think we can agree he kind of has. And then we just mentioned it. Robert Hunt getting a 5-year, $100 million contract. I think after that first week of free agency, Josh, that's where I'm settling into.
Yeah, and I don't know that I'm ready to exactly plant my flag and say definitively I want the Dolphins to go offensive line, but when you're sitting here looking at it, I mean, that's where I would absolutely, you know, target in that first round. I mean, everyone's talking about how loaded they are, how many tackles might go. You got guards, you got guys that are versatile that can play center and guard, can play tackle. So I still think that's where the Dolphins will settle. I mean, if you want to throw out a name, I mean, we've been talking about Powers Johnson for what, since we first heard of his name and seen what he was doing out there. So I would still love to see him go that way. I mean, we're sitting here talking about what our dream offensive line could look like. I think I kind of teased it in that last episode, right? If you move, if you bring in Connor Williams and you sign him late in the year and move him at guard, and then, you know, you draft a Powers Johnson at center, maybe move Brewer to guard. I don't know. I do like that the Dolphins brought in some guys to compete there, but I'm with you, Jake. I think you still go after offensive line when you think about the uncertainty surrounding Teron Armstead, who what, just restructured, right? And is kind of giving you an out after this season in case he does go to retirement, you know. I would lean towards offensive line. But then again, you got to look at the edge position. You mentioned cornerback. I mean, Dolphins love to go best player available. So anything's up in the air, man. But I'm getting old enough that I realize you don't win anything until you have those trenches locked up. And going offensive line in round one or two or both, that's definitely the right approach, in my opinion.
Let's sit and talk about Teron Armstead here just for a second. 32 years old. He restructured his contract to save the Dolphins $10 million against the cap. He allowed just one sack last season, a 2-time Pro Bowler since he arrived in Miami. Josh, what are your thoughts on void years? Because one of the major ways the Dolphins were able to free up this cap space was adding two void years to the end of Teron Armstead's contract. Basically, when his contract expires, let me see here. I got the exact numbers. In 2027... we're talking about 2027, dude. That is absolutely terrifying to me. So the Dolphins will just have like a we could even call it like a salary cap tax of $2.9 million. And then in 2028, they'll have a salary cap tax of $1.4 million. So yes, you know, we can talk about how Teron Armstead gave back some money to free up space, but the Dolphins are going to eventually end up giving him his money. This kind of reminds me of like the Bobby Bonilla situation with the Mets, where every year he gets $1 million. I think the Red Sox are doing something similar with Manny Ramirez. We're starting to see this become an aspect of football. What are your thoughts on these void years and what they could mean to the Dolphins salary cap?
Yeah, thanks for clearing that up for us simpletons, because I, you know, I'm sitting here looking at it, I'm like, okay, this is great. And I knew there was always that catch, right, that the Dolphins would eventually be on the hook for it. So my thing is, you're just basically kicking the can down the road, right? And I think we're seeing the Dolphins do that a lot this offseason. I believe Jalen Ramsey was even joking, you know, everyone's like, oh, thanks for restructuring. He's like quote tweeting, like, don't worry, fam, I'm getting paid. So I like that it frees up and it gives us some space this season. But like you mentioned, man, it's always going to creep up on us later down the road. So that's the way I feel about it. Definitely sounds better until you came in and had to, you know, enlighten us on what it actually means for the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, paying that capital down the line is just something the Dolphins agreed to do. And, again, it just goes to show you why the Dolphins need to find someone to play tackle when Teron Armstead does ride off in the sunset.
I was trying to like kind of go back and forth, ping pong it in my head of our void idea or void years, a good idea. And the saying is one in the hand worth two in the bush, kind of similar to what you're talking about here. So Josh, when I say that the Dolphins are going to have a 2027 cap hit of $3 million for Teron Armstead, like that sounds kind of gross, like on the surface, but what if I added that's just 1.2% of the Miami Dolphins current cap, and the cap is going up every year. All of a sudden, when you see that 3 million and that concept of I have this player who's an absolute stud, in order to keep him and maintain the status of this offense, I have a cap hit that's hopefully with a little luck going to be 1% of your total cap. Doesn't it suddenly seem like, all right, it's not the healthiest thing to do. Obviously can go out of hand, but if you can do this for a couple players for 3% of your salary cap, kind of stacking it together, kind of seems a little more digestible, no?
Oh, absolutely. And I guess this is why people say the salary cap's fake, right? Because you can sit here and manipulate it down to a T. So I'm glad you're pulling me. You're just jerk with my emotions here. You're just jerk with my emotions here. I was pretty happy with this signing. You know, then you talked about the void years, but you're bringing me right back, man. $3 million. I thought you were going to say that's what, like Jake Bailey's pay or something crazy like that.
Fun fact, it's Duke Riley's. I have it written down.
Okay. I was going to say Braxton Berrios. Did he just get paid something like that too? Or I'm mistaken. So
fun fact. His $1.4 million in 2028, the 0.6% of the salary cap space, that's Jake Bailey's contract.
Wow, it all ties together. Chris Greer's up to something for sure.
And like you consider the way there's not really interest on this, and like dollars in the future aren't worth dollars now. There are people who are a lot smarter than me that can explain it a lot better. But on the surface, not an awful idea, but you can definitely take advantage of it, and it could kind of snowball pretty quickly. It's kind of like having a credit card. There will be a lot of people who kind of instantly jump on me and say, no, absolutely not, because there is no interest. I just can't think of the best way to explain that. But Josh, so he played 47% of snap, 48% will round up and be nice, percent of snaps last year, Tron Armstead. I was actually kind of caught off guard. I thought he played slightly more. So 32 years old, 48% of snaps. He played 65% of snaps in 2022, and we were calling him injury prone then. What did the Dolphins need at left tackle? You have to assume that despite having I think the Dolphins sit at $4 million in cap space. They have the lowest in the league currently as we're recording this on Monday. You invested in Tron Armstead to be your left tackle, but it's clear that despite the Dolphins throwing a bunch of pieces at the wall to see that it works, there needs to be another concrete solution at left tackle. This isn't something where you can have a backup. Kendall Lamb, I kind of want to feel like is an anomaly, not the sense that he magically turned into a good player. I don't think you're going to be able to find backups that easily who played as well as him for that price.
You mentioned Kendall Lamb. Is that who you just said? I'm sorry. I was sitting here. Yeah. It was interesting because I forget who tweeted it out. Maybe it was Omar Kelly, actually. I think he said that the Jack Driscoll signing could be, you know, Kendall Lamb's replacement. And that's kind of who you need here, right? We need a backup guy that can play tackle. We'll talk about him a little bit more then, but he has some experience at tackle guard. So maybe he's that guy that you can rely on if Tron Armstead goes down, but this is a guy that only started one game last season. So I think that's, again, where you look at the draft, right? We keep hearing how all these tackles are, you know, in prime position going round one, round two. Dolphins have to hit on one of those or, you know, keep throwing darts like they've been. I mean, I wrote down Mekhi Becton as one of those names before we even came on here, before they started signing all these different players, you know, as one of those things that maybe the Dolphins could throw a dart at. But I won't be surprised if they're happy with what they got right now and then they do fill some of those spots with the vets later down the road or draft someone. So, I don't even know where I'm going with that, Jake. What was I even saying?
This is where you kind of get into the idea that the Dolphins are going to have to pinch their pennies, and you kind of lean onto some concepts here that the Dolphins have working for them. One, they're willing to sign a bunch of guys to one-year prove-it deals. Two, they have one of the league's top offenses, at least for three quarters of the year. The month where they're off is obviously randomized. It's not a specific month or anything. We don't need to talk about that. And we talk about how quickly Tua gets rid of the football. So there's a real pathway here where players can come in and have that 1 year, go out, show what you got, and then instantly get paid right off of it based on not only their talent alone, but just how this offense operates and what Mike McDaniel is trying to accomplish here. I thought that what was going to happen with Kendall Lamb, but he's still a free agent. I just have a hard time with the way the Dolphins are pinching pennies that Lamb will be the right option. I think he's going to try to maximize his value as he absolutely should, but we will wait and see on that. This is why I think drafting maybe if perfect world, if you could nail that center or guard in the first round, second round, if you could find that tackle of the future, who you could kind of talk about being that, growth piece, you can let them quote unquote sit the first year, even though, you know, I mean, Josh, the Dolphins started what, 14? I think it was 14 different offensive line combinations last year. No matter how much depth you have, it's going to come into play. That's where I'm really starting to lean into the idea of drafting that tackle of the future, because I don't necessarily know you can walk into the year signing someone who might have been a premier backup or something like that and be confident about the situation after Tron Armstead played just 47% of snaps. But can you tell me a little bit about Jack Driscoll? So this was an interesting signing. It happened on Monday. Nobody knew about it until the Dolphins social media team just had the graphic ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of threw it in there, right? They were, like, doing Jordan Poyer interviews, and they had some other guys out there, and then just randomly pops up, like, they signed Jack Driscoll. I'm going to keep messing that thing up, but I did reach out to my Eagles. I have a bunch of family and friends who like the Eagles, and I asked them in the group chat, you know, what are your thoughts on this? And all they said was, you could tell when Lane Johnson was out of the game, and I'm just sitting there like, okay, no shit, thanks for nothing. So this is a guy who only started one game. Or no, started 17 games, 54 appearances, had one start last year, and in that game was against the Buffalo Bills and finished with a 79 pass block rating, according to Pro Football Focus, which seemed pretty good. He did start in total 473 snaps at right guard, 695 at right tackle, and 150 at left tackle. Like I said, last year, he started at right tackle, so he has some versatility. He is younger, I believe 26 years old. So, again, I think it was Omar Kelly that said this could almost be a Kendall Lamb replacement, has experience at guard, has experience at tackle. So I like the signing. I'm not sure how long of a deal it's for, but I don't think you can sit here and think that now, okay, you're fine at tackle, right? I mean, maybe this guy also slides in at guard. I think he could compete there with Liam Eichenberg, who, you know, has looked okay. Robert Jones, who's also looked okay. So maybe that's where they're expecting him to play. But at the end of the day, there's not that many great offensive linemen out there. The Dolphins saw a guy that can come in and have some value, whether it is, you know, as a versatile six man, as we've heard, or even pushing for a starting job. So I'm no offensive line guru, but I'm intrigued by this. I just had to laugh because, you can tell what he's not the same. You can see when Lane Johnson's out of the game is like, well, no shit. I mean, like, we can see when Teron Armstead's out of the game too, right?
That's the thing, and Josh, this might make you a little queasy, but you know who is another versatile sixth offensive lineman? Jesse Davis.
I thought you were telling me Liam Eichenberg, because Jesse Davis said, yeah, you're right.
That also works too. This is an interesting signing because I think something we spent maybe way too much time talking about last offseason was Miami's need for a swing tackle. We didn't see the Dolphins use six offensive linemen quite as much as I expected. And Alec Ingold was only on the field for 37% of snaps, despite being one of the higher paid fullbacks in the league. So that's where I kind of see the Jack Driscoll signing going. I don't think this is someone who's penciled in as a starter, but maybe is that swing tackle, if you can maybe run the football a little bit more out of some of those bigger packages, that's where it could get a little interesting to me because, I'd be a little queasy having someone like him start. It's a situation where you're probably comfortable because of his experience. If he has to come in for a game or spot relief for a couple quarters, it's when like defenses can really game plan for you and they find that weakness on the offensive line where they can just attack you play after play, stew up all these different blitzes that can really attack this one position. Driscoll, interesting signing. I wouldn't put too much into it. Josh, another move the Dolphins made. Isaiah Wynn's back.
That's a win for the Dolphins, in my opinion. You like that? I mean, it's funny because you tasked me with coming on here and trying to come up with the perfect offensive line, and I made sure in the DMs to remind you for me to bring up Kendall Lamb and Isaiah Wynn, and then later in the day, they signed Isaiah Wynn. So 27 years old guy who, you know, he looked pretty damn good when he played guard last year, right? He was starting at guard seven games. I thought he played solid, got hurt. This was a guy that we talked about in previous podcasts about bringing him in as a cheap guy that could go out there and compete at guard, could maybe even start at guard. And he does have that, again, experience playing tackle. So, again, I like both those signings. I'm not going to sit here and be the homer and try to spin this as, you know, the Dolphins are set here, the offensive line's a godsend. But for what they could have done out there, bringing back Isaiah Wynn was a win. I didn't try it that time. And Jack Driscoll, Neil Driscoll's brother, was also a win.
What are the percent chance Isaiah Wynn is a week one starter?
Ooh, what was it? Quad injury?
Yeah.
I like those odds. I was going to say good, but I guess it comes down to how good this Driscoll is. I was going to say those two might be battling it, but I don't know, man. Then I'm going to say 69%. Can I just bail out and just go the cliche way?
Who has a better chance of starting next year, week one? Because obviously after that, everything becomes a disaster. Isaiah Wynn or Liam Eichenberg?
I mean, I'd hope it's Wynn, but I mean, I won't be surprised.
Are you sure? Because Isaiah Wynn has played 815 snaps combined over the last 2 years. Are you sure you're that confident? That's also from Ryan Smith at PFF. He's the one who dropped that. Like, Wynn was good. He was very solid for the Dolphins at left guard, but the way this unit's coming together, man, it still doesn't have a stamp of approval. If you're staying the same, you're not getting better. That's kind of seems like what's happening here with these signings. The Dolphins are nowhere near done. Don't get me wrong. But right now, I think I'm in the field of to be continued. I don't think either of these guys are going to be the starters.
I mean, I like that. And I you do have to sit here and mention how they could bring in Connor Williams, who could also come in and start and do things there. And I do have to say, regardless of who it is, I feel a lot better. And I think I can speak for you as well. We have Butch Berry now. I feel like he can get the best out of this offensive line, as crazy as that might sound. And we've talked about before, just throw two guys there at guard and get the most of it. So let's see the way this battle goes down. But I think you're right. You really can't feel too confident going into this with the injury concerns that almost all of these guys on that offensive line come with.
So Isaiah Wynn played 35% of snaps last year. Kendall Lamb, 55% of snaps. Eichenberg, 74% of snaps. Ryan Jones, combined two names there. Robert Jones, 38% of snaps. The Dolphins signed him to a one-year deal. He'll be back. That's another guy who is just such an excellent depth piece to have. And these things do matter. We haven't seen it because the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game. And we see comments all the time on our podcast about, like, how can we be excited about things when the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game in 20 years? It's because we have nothing else. We can't just sit here and be miserable every pod. So that's the YouTube comments, Josh. I know we shouldn't talk to them, but that's what I got for you guys with a waving fist. But Robert Jones, he started a playoff game for the Dolphins. That is so super valuable to have him back on a one-year deal. Like I said, he might not be a week one starter, weirdly enough. And obviously the aqua and orange glasses are on. I could see him growing into being that guy just because of how much he's worked with this team, how much he's worked with Butch Berry. And it's just growth. It's about really trusting this coaching staff to see these guys that develop over time and become starters. The name I kind of squished together there, Josh, he was signed to a futures deal at the end of last year. People were pretty mad that the Dolphins drafted Ryan Hayes super early in the draft as a sixth round pick. And then they let him go just for him to then hit free agency, re-sign to the Dolphins practice squad. So he's back in town too. Any of those names really on your radar in terms of could possibly be a starter or someone as like a supporting actor maybe for next season?
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see him being a supporting actor. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that Ryan Hayes is going to be starting in the NFL. That would just be crazy. But yeah, I do think it is funny, though. That's just the Dolphins' way, right? We get overly hyped for an undrafted A-corner, a late-round pick. He gets cut. Well, I'm guilty as anybody of this. Gets cut, you know, then wants him to come back. So we'll see what happens. Again, you got Frank Smith, who has the familiarity, you know, with the offensive line. You also got Mike McDaniel, who knows a lot about it. And then Butch Berry. I mean, these are the same people that we all kind of scoffed at when they're moving Connor Williams to center with little experience. So I'll trust the process. I don't know that any of those names truly stick out. But when you're looking for just somebody to back up, to learn the system and to come in there in a squeeze, because like you said, man, we went through what 14 different configurations last year. All of these guys based on last season could potentially be out there, so everyone needs to be ready. It'll be real interesting to see the way this depth chart lines up, right? Which of these guys they have as the listed backup guard who, you know, could also play tackle, and who's listed at tackle and vice versa, because maybe, just maybe, Butch Berry sees one of these guys, and I know it might sound crazy, but what, they're 26 27, and they could think, maybe we have someone that can groom and, you know, learn the system and be ready to go when Armstead does ride off into the sunset. But either way, I feel much more confident in the offensive line today and even last year than I have in years past. And I don't know. That's just crazy. Definitely the blind Dolphin fan in me.
My apologies. Ryan Hayes was a seventh round pick. One final note here I have, Josh. I'd like to get your thoughts on this, and then we can run through some guys you kind of have on your radar for the Dolphins to sign. So if I was to tell you that Anthony Brewer is 6'1.5. If I was to tell you that Isaiah Wynn is 6'2, Connor Williams is 6'4, and Robert Hunt is 6'6, how different is the Dolphins offensive line going to be looking next year?
That just looks like you're like almost like a pulse or something going. Yeah. I mean, and is it like, are they trying to build it this way? I mean, that's the interesting thing, right? I mean, you're obviously going to have the best players out there and whoever wins in camp, but it almost strategically seems like maybe they're, you know, bringing in a smaller center so Tua can see the field better, but that's just a spitball. So it's going to look a little bit different, right? I mean, it's going to look different. We have a brand new center in town. We're going to have potentially two guards. So, dude, yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see what happens. I did have a bunch of names written down because we were going to do this, but after these last signings, I don't know how much more bodies they're going to bring in, but I do still have some names down if you want me to throw them out there.
Give me some guys who we could instantly bring up and we could be like, yeah, he could start, because I think that's where the Dolphins are right now. We could The best thing I think you said about the offensive line today, Josh, and I think it speaks to what Butch Berry has done. You're like, yeah, I go through these names. Nobody sticks out. That's all you want in your offensive lineman, right? Because if somebody sticks out, he's probably really bad more than anything else. So that's kind of an interesting nugget too you pulled off.
Thanks. I'm trying real hard over here. So let me just throw out some names here. I mean, so if I'm looking for an upgrade at center, and one of these I'm just doing to be funny, but Brian Allen was released by the Rams early in the offseason. A lot of Dolph fans were sitting there, you know, let's bring him in. We do have Anthony Brewer, so I don't see him bringing in a center. And also to write down Will Clapp. I think it's funny as hell his name, and I would love that. Will Clapp on the depth chart at some point. So besides from that, I look at guard. And again, I had names written down, did not expect them to go out here and bring in Wynn and Driscoll, but I had Dalton Risner as a name written down. I know he has some experience starting in the league. I know Merrick said Lakin Tomlinson on a recent pod. Cody Whitehair was also out there. So there's some vets that I thought could come in and play guard. But the name that really stuck out to me, and I know the Dolphins aren't going to do this, so I don't even know why I'm bringing it up, but we're talking about how they need a tackle to groom. Mekhi Becton is the guy that really stood out. 838 snaps at left tackle last year, 101 at right tackle, 24 years old. He's a guy who everyone, I think, wanted pre-draft, went to the Jets, didn't quite live up to the hype. Dude is a freaking polar, like a grizzly bear on skates. I think that the Dolphins could bring him in to groom behind Teron Armstead. That would be my, perfect world scenario pipe dream. We found, $13 million under the couch seat. But at the end of the day, I don't know the Dolphins are going to bring in anyone else. I did have one other name, Andrew Dillard, the tackle. I think he was with the Eagles, ended up with Tennessee last year. He has some experience starting at tackle in the league. So he was the one Eagle I had written down, and then they went out there and signed Driscoll. So any names you have interest in, Jake, that are still out there? I mean, Connor Williams is at the top of my list too, because I do think with the familiarity, how great he was at guard, how awesome he is at center, that would be one of those guys I definitely keep on speed dial.
Yeah, I don't know if people saw, but the report came out again. Connor Williams' agent, Drew Rosenhaus, does a lot of hits, local TV down there, which absolutely awesome. I love seeing agents and reporters do some hits. Why not? Everybody loves a good hit. But he spoke again to the fact that Connor Williams suffered a pretty tough ligament injury and will be taking his time into the summer before choosing which team he's going to sign with. It kind of caught me that this took off and a couple people reported about it, shared stories, because this is something that's been said for a few months now, that he's going to be taking his time. And back then we kind of went a little Pepe Silvia of Xavier Howard money. There's $18 million coming down the pipeline, but it is absolutely brutal to hear that from Williams. He's about to hit. He just finished up his rookie contract. He signed a 2-year deal with the Dolphins. He's about to get absolute paid. There were the gripes throughout the year about how he was, I think, battling a hamstring injury. And he was one of the guys who was really frustrated because the Dolphins were holding him back, keeping him on the sidelines to play it safe. And then you just never know with sports, man. So I'm hoping to see that he'll be back out there soon. I think he'd be a guard, even center, I think that the Dolphins really should stay on top of. I think continuity is such an over-ignored aspect of football. Continuity is so, so important, where I think that'd be a great addition to the locker room. Mekhi Becton, I don't know if it's just being a top 5, top 10 draft pick that really sticks out, but he fits the bill. We need someone to come in who wants to prove themselves. He's someone who's struggled with injuries. He's moved along the offensive line. He didn't really get the benefit of the doubt with the Jets. And don't get me wrong, nobody wants to say like, yes, let's sign a bunch of New York Jet players, because that's the exact opposite of building a good football team. But I like the idea that I don't know if it would be that $13 million signing, but he fits the bill. And I think it'd be a fun story to say like, hey, he came here and had a successful season, famous last words, but to rub that in a Jets fan's face is a bonus that's always worth it.
Oh yeah, nothing better, unless it's Bills fans. Patriots, we just feel sorry for him at this point. That number did come from Spotrac, though, that $13 million. So I was just throwing that out there. But back to Connor Williams, it does suck, though, right? I mean, this is exactly why these guys hold out and try to get paid as much as they can when they can, because, he was injured last season. He's probably not going to capitalize as much as he would if he was coming off that year with the Dolphins. But, this is a guy that can play for sure. And he's still 26 years old. So I'd love to see Connor Williams back here. I don't know if it'd be at center, because I do think they kind of moved on with Anthony Brewer. But when you got those guys there, you just best five always plays. Isn't that what they say? I mean, so until they prove otherwise, I'm here for that.
I don't mind if I'm wrong about this, but I kind of want to plant my flag in the camp of Brewer isn't locked in as a center. I think he might be a guard or something. Everyone's going to tell me I'm wrong. And I'm probably wrong, but this is one of those takes that I'm just ready to sit in, and if I'm wrong, oh no.
but at first, like, yeah, and at first I thought, I was looking at his contract, I was like, oh no, he's almost, I mean, that's not even a lot of money even for top guard, right? I mean, we just saw Robert Hunt made, so yeah, man, I don't know that really locks him into center either, that money that he's seeing. So yeah, good call, Jake. We'll see. I do know that with the Anthony Brewer games I've watched, and I don't want to kick Connor Williams while he's down, but I didn't see any of those, you know, errant snaps that we've seen from Connor Williams. But aside from that, I mean, Connor Williams has been exceptional. So yeah, man, let's see what happens. I like that you planted your flag in that. I'll be the first one to bring that back up when he's not the center. He's starting to, like, left guard.
Just dunk on me. I'm totally cool with that. Something too, like, that's a great point about those errant snaps. You could kind of have a longer, long-winded discussion about the fact, like, Brewer had, like, the second most sacks allowed among centers, but when you consider, like, the down-to-down efficiency, even though some big-time struggles, so maybe key mistakes and areas, you hope he can clean those up as he gets older and has more time playing center, as a situation that the Dolphins could really embrace. One of the things I think Dolphin fans are battling with now is the Miami Dolphins wide receiver depth chart. Because we saw this offense truly, truly struggle at the end of the year. Jalen Waddle was dealing with some injuries. The offensive line was duct tape and glue, keeping it together. But Josh, I think what the Miami Dolphins need to focus on are two things. Identifying a wide receiver three, which they just re-signed Braxton Berrios, can also... Obviously, I think before wide receiver three, I think he's a premier kick returner. They also visited with Robbie Chosen. So yes, those guys fit the vision of what the Miami Dolphins need in a wide receiver three. They signed someone like Jonnu Smith. He's going to get 50 to 70 targets, somewhere in that range, I assume, this year. So when the Miami Dolphins need to look for a wide receiver three, it's not somebody who's going to come in and maybe have seven touchdowns or be a massive playmaker. Your number is going to get called 2 to 3 times a game at the absolute max. And we saw that with Berrios, him take advantage of those, where he'd make some crazy-looking receptions just to get the Miami Dolphins a first down on 3rd and 7. But they also need Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle insurance. That sounds insane because I don't even know if it exists. But I think the Dolphins need two different receivers, Josh, and correct me if I'm wrong. They need someone who can fit in and be that wide receiver three, but they also need someone that, just in case there's a scenario, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, they can't play, somebody they can trust to come in and just eat 6-7 targets as that chain mover, somebody who can maybe play off of the other Hill or Waddle that you can have confidence in. I'm starting to kind of get the idea, the impression after 1 year, 2 years with Mike McDaniel, those are different positions.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I mean, we got to look at what Braxton Berrios brings to the table, right? I wrote down when he signed, more like Braxton Mierios, am I right? But that was just rude. He caught 27 to 33 catches for 238 yards and a touchdown. I did look it up. 15 of those 27 catches were first down. So, like, in my head, you know, he didn't put up huge numbers, but there were times throughout games, like you mentioned, where he just made some crazy acrobatic catch on third down. You mentioned him in the return game, 23 punt returns for 235 yards. He only had a long of 19, and then his kick returns a long of 33. So he's not going to take one to the house, but he's consistent, right? He's reliable. He's not going to put the ball on the ground. I think that's why the Dolphins brought him in. But back to your other point, man, they are definitely snooping around trying to bring in another receiver. I believe Quez Watkins, Eagles fans do not like him very much. I've also asked them about him. But it looks like the Dolphins are trying to bring in a guy, like you said, that can, you know, become a viable third option, but also fill in and really, I don't want to say have this offense not skip a beat, because let's be honest, it's going to skip a beat when Tyreek or Jalen Waddle's out. But you kind of remember with Robbie Chosen, you know, he has some of that speed. He could take the top off defense a little bit, but he's not in the same stratosphere. So I don't know what they're going to do there. I don't know how you replace either of those guys. They'll probably turn to the draft. I know a lot of Dolphin fans are now starting to look at wide receivers in round one and things like that. I don't know how they'll go, but I think you're right, Jake. I think those are two different positions, and they at least got one of them locked up with Berrios. At least they can get by for this season, right? I mean, he's okay. I just feel like we all expected him to take his game to the next level with Wes Welker. Maybe that was just us being naive Dolphin fans.
I think it's us being naive Dolphin fans, but I think it's just kind of the lack of volume available to let someone be a Wes Welker. Like, do you want Braxton Berrios to be Wes Welker, or do you want Tyreek Hill to be Wes Welker, right? Like, the decision's kind of already made there. A stat I think that is super interesting, you brought up Quez Watkins, Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, the GOAT of South Florida reporters. He mentioned that the Dolphins are sniffing around Quez Watkins, primarily a slot receiver. I think the reason Eagles fans hate him, Josh, I didn't have to snoop too far about this. Let me read you his postseason stat line, all right? You ready for this? He was targeted 4 times and he had 3 receptions. How many yards do you think he had?
I don't know, but that, no, that right there got me laughing. No wonder why they don't like this dude.
12. He averaged 4 yards a reception, and that seems pretty frustrating. It's kind of the same dynamic, right? Someone like Quez Watkins, he was with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. It's just learning how to kind of feed off those two guys and attack open space. I think Quez Watkins more fits into that Braxton Berrios mold of maybe a wide receiver 3 who you could maybe lean into having 1 or 2 catches a game. But I don't think it scratches that itch of, like, you want someone who can go full, like, NBA Street. You want someone who can go, oh, he's heating up. He's on fire. Like that type of thing. Someone who's going to catch 3, 4, or 5 balls and really turn up what's happening in the game, force the defenses to do something different. And that might be the biggest weakness of this Dolphins offense. We could argue that Jonnu Smith might be that guy, but I do think that isn't necessarily the answer as someone who can kind of absorb targets like a Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And don't get me wrong here. I'm not trying to, you're not going to find anyone, a wide receiver that's within maybe 30 rankings of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle as a free agent. Not even close, but I just mean someone who can be a possession type receiver.
Yeah, I love that you brought up Jonnu Smith because that is who I kind of originally thought would be that third option in this offense. You know, you just picture Tyreek and Jalen and everyone just going after them. You just see Jonnu like crossing over the middle. He's wide open. So
nobody behind him.
Nobody behind him. I see what you're saying, and I just don't know who could be that person out there in free agency, right? I mean, it almost looks like, okay, I'll let you say it. I've written down Mecole Hardman. I've jokingly written him down because I've very much liked Hardman ever since he's been a rookie. But who are you gonna say? Who's the guy?
I'd love to put someone up to a heart rate monitor just so I can see what happens when they say Mecole Hardman, who is apparently giving out game plans to opposing teams while with the Jets, or Michael Thomas. You tell me that can't guard Mike. You tell me Slant Boy in Miami wouldn't fit perfectly. He kind of fits the mold of what the Dolphins have in Tron Armstead in a weird way, where I think Michael Thomas could be someone who, he's not going to come out and ball for 17 games. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. He's been in the league forever. He has a bunch of volume. If the Dolphins are in a situation like they were late in the year where Waddle's not necessarily on the field, you need someone to take like 6, 7 targets, maybe beat their guy outside to get an extra 6, 7 yards to convert a first down. Michael Thomas has even said he'd like to play in Miami. Like, this is fan fiction for sure. The Dolphins only have $4 million in cap space. But if he doesn't have a market, man, that's the guy I think could come in and have maybe like 2, 3 games that we just talk about for years, that the Michael Thomas games in this Dolphins offense, I think that is very possible.
Yeah, and you brought that up like pods ago. So shout out to you, because I think Ocho then was doing a pod or one of his things, an appearance where he sat there and said about how he'll reach out to Michael Thomas and get him to Miami. So I don't know that he's fully healthy yet. At least that's what I gathered from that tweet. But yeah, man, if you can sign him and he wants to come here, I mean, sure, that sounds a lot better than Mecole Hardman. I was just kind of joking with that. Anyway, there's also DJ Chark out there, but that's another guy that might get up there in price. And I know a lot of people keep talking about Josh Reynolds as another option. And Hunter Renfro, I think he was a guy that someone made a fake tweet as Hunter Renfro, and like Tyreek Hill started quoting it. So I don't know, man. You can never have too many weapons if you're Mike McDaniel, and I'm intrigued to see which one of these guys they bring in. Again, I just think they might wait, sit back, let this thing play out and see what they get in the draft, because again, there's a lot of good players out there. But dude, Michael Thomas keeps speaking that into existence, because there's no one that throws a better slant than Tua Tagovailoa, and there's a reason we call him Slant Boy, right?
It would just be so much fun. And it goes back to like the idea that the Dolphins had that report card that did so well. The Dolphins, like, again, they have not won the playoff game, but they have 4 straight winning seasons. Like, this franchise had some success. We see that. Last time I checked, Pro Football Focus has projected 2 third round compensatory picks for the 2025 draft. Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt were 2 of the 3 they projected. That to me right there screams like, hey, if you want to get paid, like, the Dolphins are going to put you in a situation where you can show your stuff, and they're a highlight reel team. Something I thought, Josh, one other stat I wanted to bring up that was pretty like crazy to me the more I thought about it, like, early in the year before he left, talking about what the Dolphins could do at wide receiver three. Like, I was glowing about Eric Azukama. Like, he was like lining up in the backfield, running the football. He actually had 5 carries for the Dolphins, averaging over 4 yards a carry. Somehow, I don't know how this hit my radar. Josh, how many career receptions do you think Eric Azukama has? For how much we've kind of raved about him maybe being that Deebo Samuel type guy.
Dude, I don't even know because it's not a lot, right? I was going to say 19, and I think that's way too many.
One.
Oh, my God.
For 3 yards. He's Quez Watkins.
You remember that dope highlight video I made, though, from – did he, like, break a record in preseason or something? Dude, he only has 1 catch.
That blew my mind because, yeah, he was an absolute baller in the preseason. I think just, like – I mean, in a year, we talk about 150 to 200 players easily. I think we just kind of balled together, like, the success he had in the preseason. Yeah, he didn't have a reception in 2023. His only usage was as a ball carrier. So that just kind of goes to show how much we forget when covering this game.
Yeah, or how much we hype up some of these guys, right? But again, that's a name that you threw out there, right? We're all overlooking Eric Azukoma. Maybe we should. Maybe we can't really rely on him after, you know, the injuries that he suffered last year and how it kind of just came out of nowhere. But like you said, man, they seemed like they had a role in mind for him, the way he was being utilized in motions, in the backfield, things like that. So we joked that that might be our Deebo Samuel. I would be intrigued to see that. But again, you need to have someone else that can show up and show out. And as of now, I just don't know who that is if Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle went down.
Joshua. Monday is in the books. I had an absolute blast talking some Dolphins football with you. I hope everybody out there enjoyed listening. I hope y'all like my new hat, corduroy and cream. I think those are 2 words that 10 years ago, Jake would kind of be beating the crap out of me for. But if you want to check out the hat, 560 WQAM, we put all our shows there. Seen a lot of traction on the YouTube videos lately. We greatly appreciate that. Joshua, do you have any final words before we wrap up here?
Just thank you guys. I mean, like you mentioned, man, we're seeing traction on YouTube. We still see everyone listening to our podcast. So again, we say it all the time, but there's no us without you. So thank you for giving us a platform and letting us talk about the team that we love. And thank you, Chris Greer, for giving us something to talk about, right? We all sat here coming into this all season thinking doom and gloom. Even after that first, 4 hours, I was sitting there tweeting my little Michael Jordan crying emoji jumping off the rafters. But things are starting to come together. We all see the vision. And, you know, it's only, March, Jake? But you and I were hyped as hell right now. And we're going to be hyped all season long. So continue to follow along here and enjoy the podcast. I don't know what I was doing with that, man.
Thank you all so much for listening. We will be back soon with another edition of Another Dolphins Podcast. But until then.
What's up, baby?